episode 209 of Board Game Blitz, a podcast about all things board games that you can listen to in less time than it takes to convince your kid that they do not need another drink of water before they go to sleep. Board Game Blitz is sponsored by Gray Fox Games. This week, we have two very special guests on the show. First, we discuss a couple games we've played recently, Floating Floors and Namalia. Then, because we are recording this episode on Mother's Day, we are joined by our moms to talk about their gaming experiences, both with and without us. Finally, we wrap things up with a look at the etymology of the word mama. And now, here are your hosts,
Amby
and Crystal, plus our special guests,
Alice
and Wanda.
Recently, I got a review copy of Floating Floors, which is a dexterity game.
I love how you said that like a question, even though you're the one who played it.
Well, it's like a dexterity, but also like strategy movement game. So it's designed by Takashi Sawada. But in the game, you are a ninja that's trying to like walk across these balancing floorboards by balancing like across the tiles and then get to certain tiles at the end. I forget what it's called. They have names for everything, but basically there's floating floorboards. So there's a tiles of a 3x3 grid, and each of them have like a 3x3 grid inside them of spaces. And then you're putting cards on top of that by balancing them on little cubes or hexagon pieces. There's a cube, hexagon, and triangle little cubes that you're placing down, and then you can put the cards on top. So there's going to be like a whole grid of these cards that are floating, and then your ninja is standing on top of those cards. The ninjas are either black or white, and the cards have like black or white patterns on the squares, so you can only go on a square that matches your ninja. But if it doesn't match, then you can put a little cube onto the, like if you're a white ninja, you can put a white cube onto a black square so that your ninja can go on top of the white cube, because you can only touch white if you're a white ninja. So you basically are placing these cubes and then trying to balance your ninja, because you have to walk across by moving it. You have to let go each time you like have to pick it up, put it down, and let go each space you move. And so you're kind of like planning out your route of where to move, because you're trying to get from one place to another in order to pick up your items that you need to pick up, but like also balancing, because if your ninja falls over, your turn ends. And like, it's very easy for it to fall over. Like, there's two different shapes of ninjas. One of them's like standing up tall, and the other one is kind of squatting. And I had the squatting one, which we decided was harder to balance with, because it didn't really fit on the cube itself. It could kind of straddle it if you did it perfectly, but then it would fall off. We were just playing with it after the game, like trying to balance it, and we managed to get it like hanging on the triangle piece, but that was like very precarious. So that was fun. But for the game, when you're trying to pick up a piece, you have to get to the edge, and then you have to pick up your floor, rotate it, and then put it back down.
Like, and while your ninja's on it?
Yeah, while your ninja and all of the cubes and stuff that are on top of it, and nothing can fall off. And that's how you pick up your winning tile. You have to pick up so many tiles in order to win.
Wow.
So like, you have to make that attempt. And basically every time you're doing something, if you knock something over, then your turn ends. So this was a very unique game. Like, I hadn't played anything like this before, because it's like a dexterity strategy game. I'm not sure how much I would play it more, but like, it definitely felt pretty thematic because of the balancing. Your ninja's like trying to sneak around and balance. It was very into the trying to make sure you could walk where you need to walk. So that was really neat. I played it 3 players. I think it's probably best at like 2 or 4 players, because people are placing the floors and the little pieces themselves. So if there's 3 players, then there's 2 white people and 1 black one, or like vice versa. So then when you're building the terrain, it'll be like more balanced towards one color than the other. Whereas if it's an even number of people, then it's like the same balance. But it was fun. I'm just not sure how much more I will play it. It's very unique, and it felt thematic, and it was relatively quick. I think it was like 25 minute playtime. So it was a fun, quick game that's an interesting and very unique theme, and that's Floating Floors.
Nice. I recently got to play a game called Namalia, which came out in 2023, originally published by Botajou, and then Lucky Duck Games is bringing it, or brought it over to the US, designed by William Levine. Namalia is a game where you are using square cards to build an animal sanctuary. All of the cards are segmented into 4 quadrants, basically, and each one shows a particular biome and a particular animal. Each round, players draw three cards, and then they choose one of those to place into their sanctuary, and then they pass the other cards to the player next to them. Basically, you're just card drafting until everyone has played three cards into their sanctuary. What's neat, though, unlike a lot of tile laying or card laying games, you have to cover at least one quadrant of a previously placed card, but you don't have to only cover one quadrant. You can technically cover multiple quadrants from previously placed cards, kind of however you want. And the reason that you might want to do that is because the game will have randomly drawn scoring conditions, and those scoring conditions will happen in different amounts throughout the course of the game. Like, there's red, blue, green, and yellow scoring conditions, and in one round red and blue might score, and in the next round it might be yellow and green, but in the round after that it might be blue, yellow, and green. And throughout the course of the game, which score conditions will score changes. And so in one round you might want a lot of one thing, but in a later round you might not need any of that thing anymore, so you could theoretically cover them up with something more beneficial. And I think that's really neat, because a lot of tile laying games, sometimes you just end up with stuff that is meaningless at the end if scoring conditions have passed. I really enjoyed this one. You're confined to a 6x6 area, so that really, like, you have to think very strategically about where to place certain things. And the scoring conditions are kind of what you would expect, like sometimes relating to the largest biome areas, or animals being next to certain other animals, or even like building out the longest river, which is on some of the tiles. Lots of interesting ways to score. You play through five rounds, and then whoever has the most points based on those scoring conditions at the end of the game wins. So relatively light and simple and easy to teach. I like the theme, although I will say the theme isn't super strong, even though it is cute animals and nice little biomes. But I enjoyed it quite a bit, and I will definitely be playing it more in the future. So that's Gnomalia.
Cool.
All right, it's time to let the moms take over the podcast.
Uh-oh. We're in trouble.
First, we'll let you each introduce yourself. So, Mom, if you want to introduce yourself and maybe just give a little bit of a background about what board gaming has been like for you throughout your life. Like, you don't have to go into detail, but like what when you were a kid or now or whatever you want to say.
Okay, I'm Wanda Parks, and I am Crystal's mom. And the one board game that I've played forever, I don't remember not playing Monopoly.
Okay.
We just always played Monopoly. I mean, there were lots of, I mean, and you know the games at Grandma and Grandpa's house. We played all of those, but Monopoly was the standard. And I play it on my phone to this day. Every night I play a game of Monopoly. So.
Wow. That's awesome.
Well, you know, tried and true.
I didn't know they had it on the phone, but that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah.
You do a whole game every night?
Every night. Yep. Me against the computer. Yes.
Wow. It's probably pretty quick when you're playing it digitally, I imagine.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Well, it can be.
Yeah. Well, Alice, do you want to introduce yourself and give a little bit of information about your board gaming background?
Okay. I'm Alice Valdez. I'm Ambie's mom. And yeah, when I was a kid, that's what I remember playing was Monopoly, but our game would go on for weeks. We would play and then stick it underneath the coffee table and then bring it out, you know, a day or two later and then keep playing. And I remember it going on for forever.
Monopoly is notorious for that, I think.
Yeah. But I haven't played it for ages now. I think probably the last time is maybe when our kids were younger. I don't remember playing it. But we still have at least one Monopoly game in the cabinet. We play a little bit of board games now. We play like some of the card games like that Ambie's introduced to us, like Hanabi and stuff like that. But some of them we don't do so much because they require too much thinking, which is a lot harder now. So we tend to play shorter games that are easy to learn. And I play a lot more word games now than I used to because I used to be really terrible at them. So now, you know, I've gone into more word games because they're supposed to help brain activity, which I'm trying to increase. So we just acquired that Bananas. Is that what it is? The little tile game?
Bananagrams?
Bananagrams, yeah.
In the banana bag, yeah.
That was
Bananagrams is super fun.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. And I don't know if we played it correctly before because it goes really fast. I don't remember it going that fast.
Playing it when I was in like high school or something. Was it?
Evan got it.
My brother had it. And I remember it was like a speed game. Like you had to build the Scrabble tile thing on your own, in your own area, as fast as you can.
Yeah. So that's one area of games where I've improved a lot on our word game ones because I used to only make like 3-letter words. So I improved. So.
Yeah, Crystal and I will play Word with Friends. And she owes me. It's her turn.
Oh, it probably is. I haven't checked all weekend. Sorry, Mom.
Yeah. It's your turn. But yes, it's like Scrabble, but you know, you can play with, and I've got 6 people that I play that with. So
wow. Mom is very good at Words with Friends. She beats me more times than not. And once in a while, I'll get a really good word out and I'm like, yes.
It just depends on the letters you get. That's really what it comes down to. Yeah.
It's a Scrabble type game?
Yes. Like
Words with Friends. Okay, I have
Words with Friends. Yes.
I play Wordo and Quordo every day. I do that.
Yeah. You know, it's like, it's just fun. And it's like, for a while, Ashley, Crystal's sister and brother-in-law, and we were kind of in a race. Who could be the first one that day to get the word in Wordle? That was, you know, it's like, you just get your word and you're done. It's like, okay, no, that's just a little too quick.
Oh, yeah, we do that. And then Quordo, where you have 4 words you have to get.
Yes, I've seen that.
So Mom, do you, well, and Alice as well, do you all think that the amount of gaming that you do in general has increased by a significant amount because of smartphones, which, you know, now they've only been around for a little over 15 years, which in the grand scheme of things isn't that long. But I know for me, I think I game more because of smartphones, even though I do still game on my computer and, you know, on a table with board games as well.
Well, it's, if you're by yourself and you want something to do, you can play a game on your phone. You know, that's so, yeah. And like I said, it's like, I'll play Monopoly just any old day. I'm still waiting for them to come out with Mystery Date as an app on your phone.
I don't know if Mystery Date is coming back as an app, Mom. I think that one might be. But I do. That does make me want to teach you. There's a game that came out here a few years ago that I own that I will definitely teach you next time you're here. And of course, now the name is escaping me. It was kind of a heartthrob remake, but I now don't remember the name of it. I'll look it up.
I didn't have Mystery Date. My neighbors did. So we would meet between the yards and play Mystery Date. It's like, okay.
I have to look these up now.
Mystery Date was a stupid teenage girl game.
Dream Crush. That's the name of the one that came out in 2021. And it is very fun. I really like Dream Crush a lot.
Interesting.
Doesn't sound like games that I'd normally play.
Dream Crush? Those ones aren't my type of game.
Yeah, Dream Crush. It's not available anymore, unfortunately. The company that was making it, I think they got bought out. But I've got a copy, so I can bring it anytime.
Yeah, the phone games are, I think they're really convenient for, you know, you have like 5 minutes of waiting at the doctor's office or something. You can always do
exactly.
Something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really great for that.
Yeah. Very portable.
Yeah.
I just have to remember to turn off my sound if I'm waiting in the doctor's office. Wow. It's like, yeah. It's like, otherwise the cheering, it's like, what's going on over there?
Everybody looks like, ooh, okay.
Right.
So, Alice, do you have any specific memories of either playing board games with Ambi or maybe just Ambi and her brother playing games when they were younger?
Well, Ambi's favorite game when she was little was it Little Mermaid or
which was a mindless,
no strategy. We used to dread playing that, and Ambi would go, "Let's play again." Oh gosh! So that was one of her favorite games. When you were like 3 or something like that, play that forever. I think Evan hated it, but what did we play a lot? But we played a lot of games because I think it instills creativity and strategy, you know, helps you think. Mm-hmm. I tutor students in math, and a lot of kids, they don't play games and they don't know how to think.
That's right.
It is interesting how even non-educational games, because obviously there are games that are created specifically to be educational, but non-educational games can provide a lot of really good experiences, right?
Thinking, what's going to happen? And
Yeah, and I'm seeing that with kids now, with my kids. Like, it's so cool seeing them, like, think through and learn things amazing. When they're playing games.
I mean, you girls played Rummy Cube with Grandma and Grandpa.
Oh, yeah. And I've talked about that on the podcast before.
And Ashley has got the board that Grandpa made. Yeah.
Oh, I know she does. On the podcast I've also discussed that, how she has the handmade box that Grandpa made to hold all the cubes. And I was like, I am the one who has a board game podcast, and Ashley took the dang Rummy Cube game.
Well, she was here.
I know. That's what I get for moving halfway across the country, I suppose.
There you go. That's right.
Well, Mom, do you remember any other games that we played when we were younger?
That you played when you were younger?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and I haven't seen it in years, was Trouble. You remember Trouble?
Yeah.
You loved that dice, that clicky dice thingy in the middle. It was like, you would just, it's like, oh no, you have to wait until it's your turn to do it again. It's like, you wanted to click that thingy. It's like, no, you gotta wait.
If there is one thing that has stayed true about me my entire life, it is I do love a gimmick.
Oh, no kidding. It's like, okay. And man, did your sister get mad at you? It's like, okay. See, and like, I loved playing Clue when I was a kid. I don't know that you all ever played that.
We did, actually.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. At Dad's parents' house, at Grandma and Grandpa, at their house, they had a copy of Clue. And so we would sometimes play that with the cousins over there. So yeah, we definitely played Clue. Although, I've talked about this on the podcast before, too. I'm so bad at deduction games. Like, basically, if I'm playing a game where there is secret information that I have to figure out, I'm either amazing, like spot on, or I'm so far off the target that it's just how could I be so far off? I'll think I know everything and I'll know nothing. And it's really funny to watch that happen in real time when I think I know everything and I have everything wrong.
Well, now, had you been a math major in college, you would have learned all those deductive tools to do things like that. I hated those classes. Oh, well.
Yeah, we start out with playing Guess Who. That's like beginner Clue. And Kevin was catching on to that.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Guess Who? Because we were going, I was playing with him and he was kind of getting that. That's pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
So are your nephews. They're playing that now.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I've seen this trend online where people, instead of playing that game by the normal rules, they pick their people, and then instead of like asking, do they wear glasses or do they have brown hair, you ask questions like, would your person order black coffee at a fancy coffee shop? And like ridiculous questions like that about their personality. And you have to be like, no, they would not. Like, and that's how people I don't know. I've seen it before. I've never played that way, but I kind of want to see if it works.
That would be tough. Yeah.
Toby said that he used to be like, is your person on the left side of the board?
I mean,
you get the exact 50-50 there.
I mean, you got to give it to him. That's a smart question, even if it's not in the rules.
Yeah.
So what do you ladies think about the way board games have grown and changed since you all were young to now, to where, you walk into Walmart or Target or Barnes & Noble and there's this giant wall of board games now that is super big, and most people haven't heard of most of them. Alice, do you have any thoughts on how far board games have come?
Well, some of the games I think are kind of ridiculous because they're just remakes of, they're really lame. They're useless games. Mm-hmm. But then some of them, they're just so elaborate that, like some of the games you guys play, there's this way above me. It's just too hard to figure out what's going on. So there's like the super, you got to be really into that niche to play that. But, where I'm kind of like just, okay, what they be called like party games, that's what I enjoy playing.
What about you, Mom? What do you think about how board games have changed since you were young to now?
When
you are still very young, to be clear. You are definitely still young.
What do you want? Well, of course, the only board games that we had as kids were actual board games. You know, it's like where you open the box and get the game out and play it. You know, today it's with the technology, it's like you can play complicated games on your computers. And, you know, it's like people today still play Dungeons and Dragons. But I have seen what it has evolved to today, as opposed to what people I knew that played Dungeons and Dragons years ago. It's like, oh my gosh, is that the same game? A lot of the games are just not at all the same game anymore. They're just totally different because of technology, which is not a bad thing in many cases.
It's definitely interesting because I think one of the struggles that the board game hobby has had is how to make newer games more approachable to people who are more familiar with like the classic board games and they haven't really, mm-hmm. you know, experienced some of the newer stuff. And how do you make that experience of opening up a new box and looking at a rule book or looking at the components less intimidating? And I don't know if there is a solid answer to that. There are some companies that have started creating games where you don't actually have to read the rule book at all. Like when you open the box, it will tell you to pull out a couple of things and it'll say, just start playing. And the components themselves will teach you the different things in the game as you're playing. And that has been one way some publishers have handled it. But, you know, like you guys have said, like some of these games are really mm-hmm. complicated and really complex. And how do you get, because there might be more people who would enjoy them but might be scared to try.
You know, it's like something that I have noticed with the games that your nephews like to play a lot is that they're not competitive except with yourself.
Okay.
You know, they're cooperative games.
Yeah.
Which really helps if the two of them are playing.
Yeah, they
when Grandma sat down to play the game, I was a little stymied because there was no winner. You know, everybody was just helping everybody else.
Yeah.
Which I think is a lovely change. You're not going to have somebody stand up, I won. No, everybody won because we did it. So
I think everything when we were younger, it was always competitive. Huh?
Absolutely.
It wasn't as co-op stuff.
It's there was a bona fide winner, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Not anymore.
Yeah, cooperative games have really become popular, and not just in kids' games, but even, you know, hobby, like, really complex games.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, one of mm-hmm. my favorite games is a remake of an older game that originally came out in the 1970s, I believe. It was originally called Dark Tower. It might have been the 80s. And then the new one is called Return to Dark Tower, and there is a physical plastic tower that sits in the middle of the table that's electronic that has components that move and spin and light up, and there's an app that also does things with the game and the tower, but it's a big board and you have little miniatures that are moving around and stuff, and it is so much fun. And it takes like 2 to 3 hours to play sometimes, but you get to go on an epic adventure basically, and because mm-hmm. of the tower and the app, it makes it a little bit easier to do because it handles some of the bookkeeping and the like detailed stuff that you would normally have to keep track of yourself, and that makes it a little bit easier, even though it sounds more complicated.
Did you and your sister have Mousetrap?
We did, and we loved Mousetrap. Although, admittedly, like most kids, half the time we just set up the whole thing just so we could see it go.
Play with Rube Goldberg machine, the game.
Yes.
I would love for there to be Mousetrap. Like,
I want like an adult, like not like adult themed, but like an adult centric, like a geared for gamers Rube Goldberg board game of some kind. And
well,
I have no
idea. An adult themed one would be quite interesting.
Yeah, you're not trapping a mouse anymore. It's getting,
no!
getting.
It's like, okay.
Different versions of the game.
There's a goal for you, girls. That's just...
Well, and I know, Mom, I know you used to play a lot of card games when I was young. Like,
oh, yeah.
You guys would have friends over to the house and all the kids would be downstairs and you guys would be upstairs with the card table. And I don't even know exactly what you all played all the time up there.
Well, typically we played pitch and spades and hearts.
Okay.
Well, I remember as a kid, my favorite card game was Turing, but that's a special deck and everything. So, you know, but I loved Turing, and so did my mom. That's like, okay, yep, let's play. But yeah, those were the typical ones. The thing about pitch is that it seems like everybody plays their own version. 13-point, 11-point, 10-point, 9-point. It's like, okay, fine. And I'm flexible. I'll play whatever, but a lot of people aren't. It's like, okay, we're playing 10 points. All right, fine. We're whatever you want.
Alice, are there any classic card games that you've enjoyed over the years?
Well, we used to play blackjack with the kids when they were little. Because it's a math game.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
So, yeah, you guys are, you know, got good at adding numbers up. So that was a great game when we played that in Rodale. So Evan was maybe 4 or 5 and then Ambie was 2 or 3. So, you know, they added up numbers. But now I play a lot of hearts and spades, euchre.
Oh, nice.
But I haven't heard of the games that you were playing. I had clueless of what.
Yeah, I hadn't pitch heard. Or...
I know of pitch, but I've never played it.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness. That's what your grandma and grandpa played. Once in a while, they'd play pinochle, but it was usually pitch.
And same for me with pinochle. I know of it, and I've just never played it. Heard. So
I don't really care for it.
That's a trump game too, right?
Yes. Pinochle, you have to have your own pinochle deck and everything. It's just not a regular standard card deck. And so it's like, eh.
Well, you could take 2 decks and make a pinochle.
That's
deck.
True. That's true.
That's what we did.
I don't have 2 decks that have the same backs. So
kind of tell.
Well, like, Mom, right. I didn't. I only got you something small for Mother's Day. Maybe I'll order you a couple decks of cards.
No, that's all right. Thank you. I've got plenty of decks of cards.
but if they don't match.
Well, I don't want them to match. It's easier when they're all splayed together to pick them up and put them in their right decks. It's like, okay.
You just got to get her a pinochle deck now.
Yes.
No, because I don't have the people to play pinochle with. So.
Well, you know what? I bet there's a pinochle app. If anything, I there's an app for everything nowadays.
Well, yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. Every Saturday night, my folks would be playing cards with somebody. Aunt and uncle or grandma and grandpa or somebody. That was just standard.
Sounds like a fun way to spend a Saturday evening.
And we got popcorn and pop. That was... Now, the kids were not allowed to play. So
why not?
Because they were serious about their cards. And they didn't want to spend any time teaching the kids. The kids were off in the other room with their popcorn and pop, amusing themselves. The kids, you know, your own folks would be teaching you. And you'd have to do it at your house. It's like, okay. One thing that is really fun is 5-handed pitch. Ooh. Because you call for your partner.
So you get to choose who your partner is in a given
round? Well, you call for a card. You look at your hand and you see what card you would need to be making the most points, and you call for that. And so whoever has that plays it, and then they're your partner.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's fun. That's a neat way to play.
All right, well, we are going to wrap things up. Any final thoughts, Alice? Anything else you want to say? And if the answer is no, that's fine. But anything else that you want to, any dirt you want to spill about Ambie? I don't, you know, whatever.
Not at the moment. Games are great. That's a good way to pass the time. It's creativity. It keeps your mind going. And you learn a lot. Good socializing.
Absolutely. All right, what about you, Mom? Any final thoughts?
I wish more people would play games. Games are a way of bringing people together. We went through the pandemic where you had to be separated, but now it's a time where you can get back together and play a game and have a good time. So, you know, let's bring it on.
Every time I come home to visit, I always bring games with me. So
yes, and I have my favorites.
Yes, you do. For today's etymology segment, we're going to look at the origins of the word mama, meaning mother, a word used most often by children and infants. Mama, spelled M-A-M-M-A, originated in the 1570s and was a representation of the native form of the reduplication of the ma sound that is nearly universal among the Indo-European languages, including Greek, Latin, Persian, Russian, Lithuanian, German, French, and Welsh. Ma is generally recognized as a natural sound in baby talk, considered to be imitative of the sound made while sucking. If you're as surprised as I am about how late it appeared in modern English, aka 1570, that can be attributed to the use of the word mom, M-O-M-E, in Middle English in the few centuries that preceded mama's appearance. Mom, at that point, was defined as an aunt or old woman and used as an affectionate way to address an older woman. a tradition that in some form still persists in a few English-speaking countries to this day. In terms of the recorded appearance of the variant or related words in English, mama, M-A-M-A, first appeared in 1707, mum, M-U-M, in 1823, mummy, in 1839, mommy, in 1844, mama, in 1810, and mom, in 1867. And our fun fact for today is that the insult, yo mama, can actually be traced all the way back to 1927, when the phrase was actually you mammy.
And that's it for this week's Board Game Blitz. Visit our website, boardgameblitz.com, for more content and links. This episode was sponsored by Gray Fox Games. Late pledges for Last Light are closing soon, so don't miss your chance to get a copy of Roy Canaday's epic 4X game that plays in an hour or less. And don't forget, you can also head to grayfoxgames.com and get 20% off non-exclusive items by using code BGBLITZ24 at checkout. Join the Blitzketeer community on Discord for game nights, discussions, and more by following the link in the show notes. And if you like us a lot and want to support us monetarily, you can get some cool perks. Check out our Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/boardgameblitz today. Our theme song was composed by Andrew Morrow. Until next time, mama just played a game. Put her meeple on the board. Look at all the points she scored. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
Three cards into their hand. Choose one. Baby's going crazy right now. What is going on? Do you know that your grandma's on the phone right now? Is that why you're all excited?
That's it. That's it.
It's gotta be. All right.